thank you for doing this, and could you tell us your name and how long you've been in Bayside?
My name is Marilyn Johnson Duane, and I have been in Bayside as long as I can remember. I celebrated my first birthday on C Street at the Sally Cottage, learning to walk.
Oh, that sounds great. And how about your family? How many cottages and how many family members have been in the area?
The first that I know of to have come here was my great-grandmother, who used to come down on one of the big steamships and bring a granddaughter or two. She had four grandchildren. And they'd stay a week in a rented cottage on one of the streets that go up off Broadway at the campground, which was then called. And from there, these various people all loved it and used to rent, come here and rent for a week or two when they were adults. And finally, four out of four bought cottages in the area.
Oh, that's
great. And three of the sisters bought lots down in Kelly Cove from Mrs. DeRusha, which is a well-known name here in the olden days. And then my mother, who had bought one of the lots, decided she wanted to be waterfront. And so she bought Breezy Point in the 40s, that was. My aunt built the log cabin that is in somewhat of disrepair at the moment, but it was the first log cabin in the area down in the cove. My other aunt built a more traditional cottage, which is not, was burnt and has now been replaced by the Spady Cottage.
Oh, sounds great. Tell us some of your fond memories of Bayside, some of the things you did when you were a child.
Oh, boy, let's see. I need a note here. Well, I remember that we used to walk a lot. It was necessary to walk a lot from here to get to what was then the mail service up at the campground. Mail came in twice a day, believe it or not, and we went up to both mailings. We must have expected a lot of mail. And then we used to walk at night, and we'd go all the way to Temple Heights and back, and they had to carry me part of the way as a child. And one of our favorite things was to walk at night up in the campground area because the windows were all lighted up and we'd look at and see how people were furnishing their cottages and what they were doing and all that kind of thing.
I still love to do that.
Yes. Well, we don't do that as much anymore, but that was something that I did as a child. We used to have wonderful beach picnics right in front of the cottages in the cove. Stroll across the road there and down a right of way that was there at that time, and cook hot dogs and hamburgers, or sometimes just have a fire. And that puts me in mind of at the end of World War II. We hadn't been able to have fires for several years on the beach because of the fear of enemy ships or submarines or something in the bay. I don't know if they were ever actually there, but there was concern about it. And the day that it ended, we went down and had one of the biggest fires we've ever had and sung all sorts of patriotic songs and had a wonderful time, and I've never forgotten it, of course.
Oh, that's a great memory.
An older memory was of the store that used to be up on the back road, on back George Street Road, which was Hastings for a while. But prior to that was a Perkins store. And he was, when I was a child, he was an old, old man, but he liked children. And he would always give me those little lanterns, glass lanterns full of hard candies that now you get $25 to $40 for the empty thing. I wished I'd saved them.
I bet.
But I had a wonderful time with him then, and he was a nice guy, and he used to have onions and bananas and everything hung from the porch, the way you picture things in the olden days. That building is now down opposite Blair's place, been made into a moved and made into a residence.
It's my brother-in-law's house.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, I have many fond memories of that place, of course, mostly because of the gifts of, we called him Pa Perkins, is what we called him.
You ought to come down, and Bill and Cynthia would love to show you the inside. Have you been in since?
No, I haven't. I haven't been in for years, since Hastings closed up.
Being that such a fond memory of yours, they would love to show you the inside.
Well, I would love to see it, too.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes, it would.
Okay, what kind of fashions were they wearing, as far as bathing suits?
Oh, dear. Wool.
Wool?
Oh, I hated my wool suit.
Wool bathing suit?
Yes. It was so itchy.
Oh, my.
And they had, well, they would really be called sort of a tank suit, you know. I've got lots of pictures. It's too bad you can't illustrate this in pictures. Of a scoop neck in front, a scoop neck in back, and just sort of hung there on you, usually with a stripe across the modest length skirt. And kids could wear something a little less covering than that. But as I say, it was pretty itchy stuff. And I was very glad when they came in with some of the other fabrics. They came in later.
Oh, my bad. How about hats? They wear a lot of hats?
I don't recall down here a lot of hats, unless you were sitting in the sun. The older people generally wore a brim kind of straw hat or something. One thing we used to do, I don't know if I should mention the story or not, there was a captain that had a sort of a passenger boat, Captain Gooden, I think his name was, and he used to keep it anchored up by the wharf. And he would, for a couple of dollars a head, take a whole party of people out for a day's journey around Islesboro and visit the Seal Rocks, or Seal Islands, I guess they're called. And then, if the tide was right, he would bring you in to the area over by Marshall Cove, dig clams for you, row you in ashore, dig clams for you, and let you swim or do whatever you want. And I think for the princely sum of $2 a head was about what he chose. It was an all-day thing. On this one occasion, a lady whose name I shall not mention, but who was a resident down here for quite a while, borrowed my mother's bathing suit. And she, I guess they changed in the bushes or something. She came out into the water, and she dipped down the way you would, and she had it on backwards. You couldn't tell much. So it was rather a sudden exposure in the front. And she went, But that was just one of the trips. We had wonderful, more than one, probably one every summer to out there to the various things.
That sounds great.
It was great. We didn't have vehicles in our family. We would be one or two, and they'd bring us down in the summer and come weekends so that we could go into Belfast and whatnot for groceries or something. But you really didn't need to do that, because almost every day Cushman's Bakery would come through carrying all kinds of bread and rolls and goodies and whatnot. There was a milkman that came every day with butter, milk, cheese, all that kind of thing. There was even a meat man, although we didn't patronize a meat man very much. But there was one available, and there was always a fresh fish man that came. And he had the scales and everything. You'd go out and peer at all this stuff, you know, and he'd weigh it out for you, same as the meat man. And so you really didn't need to go to the store, you know, only for the most incidental things and the staples. because it was brought to you. And there used to be so many peddlers that came by with fresh raspberries and strawberries and stuff like that, blueberries, just picked, little kids. And then the Indian children and their parents came through with wonderful Indian baskets, which they sold very, very inexpensively. And we had quite a collection of those because we felt sad for these big-eyed little boys that were standing there with a basket.
Do you still have some of those baskets?
Yep.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a tradition we should start again, having them come with our fish and meat, and we wouldn't have to go to the store. That'd be great.
Well, it was wonderful because, at least in the case of the fish, it was very, very fresh.
Oh, absolutely, sure.
They would just have caught it somewhere and then trucked it down. And then we had a fantastic, you probably heard about him in your interviews, Jack the Garbage Man. Well, we liked Jack. Everybody does, but he did, but he was a character. Oh, and the nice Ice Man came by frequently, I don't remember. You know, most people had not refrigerators at that time, but ice boxes, which sat out in the back or sat in the kitchen and leaked all over the floor. You know, that was the way it went.
How about the community house? What happenings do you remember at the community house?
Well, I remember being in a couple of minstrel shows that were orchestrated by Joanne Coughlin's mother, Mrs. Short, and I think with help from John Short, who was always an M man with Kelly Crossgill. These names aren't familiar to you, are they? Well, they would be to the old Ulsters here because they were very active and made things very pleasant for people down here with their. It takes a lot of work to put on something. Did you see that recent show, the Steamboat Fever?
No.
Well, that was a ton of work, too. But these shows, using local talent, you know, took a lot of patience and whatnot to get everybody together and all. But I was in those. I'm trying to think what else. Well, I don't remember, really. I remember those especially.
Great.
But there used to be a lot of goodies down there.
How about the sports in the area? Have you memories of the golfing and swimming and horseshoes, some of those?
Oh, sports? The horseshoes I do remember. It wasn't that I played them, but we used to go up and watch them because we had friends who did play. And, yes, I remember them. The Butters were old summer residents here.
Now, did they play the horseshoes down right down in the Bayside area?
No, they played up. Is up a Broadway that goes into Merrithew Square? You know, you go up one of those side streets, and partway up there was an entry into this horseshoe pit. What do you call it? I don't know. It was a whole area, and it had some bleachers or some.
Oh my gosh.
Places to sit along the side.
This is big stuff.
Oh, big stuff. And you could hear when you walked down, say, you walked down Merrithew, into Merrithew Square, you could hear the clink. I can still hear that sound in my head, that clink, clink of the horseshoes as the men or whoever was playing played. Yes, I remember those.
How about social events? Dances?
Oh, yeah, they had dances. They had some nice things. I think probably it was the Shorts again that may have organized that. They had three girls. And you know Joanne probably. Joanne Coughlin?
I knew
nice
her, yes.
Lady. Oh. Nice lady. Anyway, her parents were nice too. they organized a lot of these things. They were held at the community hall. That was another thing.
Pancake breakfast? They do pancake breakfast back then, like they do now?
I think so. I don't recall that I went to them. We were very family-oriented down here, and it's a shocker now that I am really the only one left that comes down here. Sad when you think about it. But that's the way life is.
So this is the only cottage that's in the family now?
That's right. It was my mother's. And she she came to have this, she bought the lot, as I told you, between her two sisters down here in the cove. But she never came. She got put a foundation down of sorts and was going to build. But she had, my mother was allergic to heat and really got very blotchy and funny and sick when she got into heat. She came down one weekend and it was terribly hot down there. She was staying with my aunt in the log cabin, and that's back in the woods. And this place was for sale. And my aunt said to her, call up Mr. Clark and see how much it is. He's the realtor. And she did, and he said, I've got the keys. He knew us, you know. Go on up. They've taken all the stuff they want out of there, the people that it was left to. Just go in and see what you think. Stay overnight. Well, she was so hot, and we got up here, and the wind was blowing through the bedroom windows, and she was so thrilled, we just settled in, made up the beds, and climbed in, and she went the next day and bought it. And,
so did you name it Breezy?
No, it's always been Breezy Point. The old postcards with pictures of it, and also long shots from up at the wharf that show it, and it's, the name Breezy Point was here before the cottage, probably, and the cottage just took its name from it. But it always, it doesn't let you down. In most weather, it's as cool as any place, you know, along the coast.
Oh, that's great.
We love it.
Oh, darling. How about 4th of July? Memories of 4th of July here? Such a big event now in Bayside.
I don't remember.
No,
I don't have any special memories. My uncle used to come down with fireworks were allowed then, and he used to buy $10 worth, which was a humongous amount then, and set them off down on the beach. That's a memory, but, you know, it's not of the community, really. It's just a personal family reminiscence.
Okay, great. How about storms? Storms here. It's an interesting year to ask you that, right, after this horrendous ice storm, but...
Oh, well, I wasn't up here for that. We were down in Florida having worse storms, tornadoes, and people dying all over the place. No one died in the ice storm. I prefer Maine weather, winter and summer, to anybody else that I know of. But, yes, we have gone through several hurricanes down here. The worst one, I was not here for. It was very bad. It snapped the locks off in all the windows here, and three huge trees. There were a group of them, the size of that tree right there, that came down on the house, on the edge of the house over here. Knocked down the well curb, went through the roof some, but we were really very lucky, considering that, you know, we could have, if it had been a direct hit, we would have been a real mess. But I can tell you a little side anecdote about that. My mother was married at that point to Lancy Milliken, who lived in Pittsfield, Maine, and he was, you might say, set in his ways. He had been up there, and he knew it was a hurricane, but he was due to come here, and he was going to come here, and he used to come the back roads, and how he ever made it, there were trees falling all around, you know. And when he got here, you know, Mother was sort of bailing from all the rain and the wind and all the trouble and whatnot. Molly said, I'm going out and get my beans. He had always had baked beans made by a lady out in the backwoods of Lincolnville on Saturday nights. And she said, my mother said, you're not going in this out there. Yes, I am. Of course, she's made them. And he did. He went out in a hurricane and came back with the beans.
Oh, my gosh.
Mainers are a tough crew.
I guess. Oh, my gosh. How about the Depression? Any memories of Bayside during the Depression?
Well, I was pretty young. You know, I was born in 1929. I just had my 69th birthday. And it didn't affect our family very much. I do remember a funny incident that might have had something to do with, well, not so much the depression as the, on the tip of my tongue, where they banned selling alcohol.
Prohibition.
Was that about that time? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. We were, my aunt, one of my aunts, not the one with the log cabin, had built her place, and it was still very roughly furnished. And she would bring women friends of hers. She had a husband, but he could only come on weekends because of work. And they'd just have a good time, like young people would. And I would come down with them. And this night, we were seated, we were sleeping on a collapsible bed. It was propped up with oil cans, as I remember, and there were three of us lined up on an open front porch in this metal bed. I can see it so well in my mind. And after dark, they became aware, I suppose I would have gone to sleep, but woke up during the confusion, because there was a man patrolling up and down in front of the, it's still there, the bushes are cut low in front of the Spady area down there so that you can see out to sea. He was walking along back and forth. All you could see was the light from a cigar or a cigarette or something. And he patrolled back and forth for hours, and they were half scared and half hilarious, you know, the way you are. And I was intrigued. I didn't have any reason to be scared. And they thought that he was looking for rum runners coming in. There was something in the paper later on about this concern that rum runners were coming in, and they had agents just tracking in the coves, you know. They still do that with drugs, I think. I'm not sure that they still do that with drugs, but there's so many coves in Maine that you couldn't possibly cover them all. Anyway, I remember that experience very well because the bed collapsed.
Oh my gosh.
You know, with all this thrashing around of people trying. They weren't very far from this man, you know, who was down there doing this.
Okay, I think we'll conclude with some of your favorite people in Bayside, maybe some of your best friends. Past and present?
Well, I was always fond of Marion Keith. You know Al Keith, have you heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is his sister. She's still in the area, but not in Bayside. She was a neighbor in Bangor, where we lived at the time, as well as that lot right there was the Keith Cottage. You see where there's a garden and whatnot?
Yeah.
And there was a fire here. You don't want to conclude with the fire, do you?
Well, we'll keep going and we'll come up
you
with something
else. You can edit if you want to.
Okay.
The reason that we have that property now, that's our guest house. That was the Keith Barn, that building right there. It's now our guest house. But that had a very good-sized cottage right there. And on the other side of it, there was another cottage owned by some people named Swift. And in the fall, it was after most people had gone home, someone in the Swift family, I think a son or something, had gotten married. And he and his bride had come down here to spend their honeymoon. Well, they didn't understand the water heater. And they went off somewhere. I think they went. I don't think they had to escape, but maybe they did. Anyway, the cottage caught on fire. The water heater blew up. The cottage caught on fire and caught the Keith Cottage on fire and laid them low. They were both just totally gone. They got, you know, some help from the fire department, but it had just gone on too far. which of course ultimately turned to our benefit because we bought this lot and the people who had then had the cottage on the other side bought the other, and we've got all the space in between, which is very nice, and at a premium in Bayside to have a large amount of space.
Absolutely.
That's
beautiful.
Pam Short was also a good friend of mine down here. Trying to think. As I say, I wasn't up in the campground much, and I tended to bring friends from Bangor down here, which wouldn't make any sense.
Great. What are some of your favorite things to do in Bayside now?
Read.
Read. I'm with you. It's relaxing, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. And we entertain a lot. You know, we have a lot of friends for dinner or one thing or another.
Great.
Down here. But I think relaxing is what I really enjoy, and it's cool. And I've gotten like my mother, I'm pretty well allergic to heat. Never used to be, but that must be something that comes on you in your elderly years.
Oh, well, your cottage is lovely. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
We're all set. Okay, we're back, because as we chatted, we found out some more interesting tidbits. We're going to talk about some of the celebrities that have visited Bayside.
Well, as I say, I would not swear to this, but it was told me that Zazu Pitts at one time was a guest at this house or at the Keith's place. And also that Mary Martin spent a period of one summer at Breezy Point with her boy Larry. At another time, and this I was here to observe, Miss Youngman, who has the cottage now occupied by the Cummings, had many friends in New York, prominent friends. She had worked with her aunt, who had been a prominent person in New York society, I guess. And this, she knew this woman, this cosmetician, who was either Harriet Hubbard Eyre or somebody with a name similar to that, or makes me think of it. Anyway, she built a place for her for this occasion that this woman was coming to visit her across the road on the part of the lot that, well, I guess the Cummings sisters owns that now. And they would walk up and down the street with her, Miss Youngman, introducing her to one and all as she came up and down. And that place now is down on Route 1. They've added two wings. It was moved from here and was taken down Route 1 and added on to. But it's still there, looking very much as it did, except a little larger.
Okay, I think we're all set.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.